Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. After nearly 2,000 years of counterfeit Christianity. Now, it is interesting how many people think that they can take some of the things of the Bible that they like and they agree with, and they can create a counterfeit. And it can sound so very biblical. Now, let's recount some of the things that we have learned. Now, here's three verses. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, this becomes important because, as we have seen, the Christian Passover is what should be taken by those who are truly repentant, baptized, have received the Holy Spirit, and are keeping the commandments of God. And they understand that the baptism is a co-crucifixion. In other words, it is a covenant. And a covenant must bring forth evidence that it is going to be carried out by providing a substitutionary sacrifice of yourself. Now, in the Old Testament, it was an animal sacrifice. When we come to the New Testament, we find that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. And we find that God provided, through the operation of His Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice in the body of Jesus Christ, and that He was sacrificed once for all time. He was not sacrificed over and over again. Let's also understand, wherever there is idolatry, the true God and the true Christ are not there. Now remember this, unless the Christian Passover is observed on the 14th day of the first month, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar, at the time and in the manner and with the words, the direct words of Jesus Christ, regardless of how close to the scripture it may sound, it is not of God. It is not of Christ. It is a counterfeit. Those who are true Christians know that they are because of the Spirit of God dwelling in them. They are the ones who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, John wrote this, verse 19, "We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one." Now, we need to understand that, and that there are false apostles, false teachers, false Christs, made after the image and design of men, inspired by Satan the devil, to cause people to believe that they have salvation through Christ, when in fact they do not. The following is intended to demonstrate how deceived and false, yes, even ridiculous, some televangelists are. The true Jesus Christ is not there.
やった! ぜ。行くぜ。
Perfect. You win.
コクラッシャー。サイコクラ。
You win. Perfect.
Now let's come down to verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true and in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Now those who are true Christians know that. And they know why he came. They know why he gave his life.They understand about repentance and baptism and keeping the commandments of God. Now, I want to read two more verses here in 1 John 5 so that we can understand some of the outward things to look to so we can discern what is true and what is right. Remember, we are told,that if they do not speak, anyone who's trying to speak for God, that if they do not speak according to the law and the testimony, that's the Old and New Testament, there is no light in them. Now, you can have many, many, many counterfeits. All right? Now then, let's read verse 21.Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Very important. Keep yourselves from idols because wherever there is idolatry, you're dealing with a counterfeit. You may be dealing with demonism and Satanism, depending on the depths to which it goes. And God is not going to be there.Now, let's come back up here to verse 17. Let's understand this. All unrighteousness is sin. Now, righteousness is the word of God. Righteousness are the commandments of God. Righteousness is your keeping the commandments of God through the Spirit of God. So, therefore, if there are idols, it's a counterfeit.
A statue of the Virgin Mary that locals say is weeping oily tears has attracted thousands of believers to a, not a church, but a small apartment in Israel. Osama and Amira Curry say 2,000 people have turned up at their apartment in Tarsiha near the Lebanon border since they first witnessed the miracle inside their own living room.The couple say they bought the statue last year, but have only recently noticed it crying. They claim that wiping the statue does nothing to remove the oily sheen, and that oily tears appear to roll down the saint's cheeks. The statue of Virgin Mary sits in a glass box and surrounded with worshippers who pray, many of them traveling hours by buses or cars to earn blessing.
Now let's see what the Apostle Paul says. Let's come here to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And let's pick it up here in verse 14. Now, what he's doing here, Paul is leading up to the practice of a wrong Passover observance. See, because the pagans had their bread and their wine and their idols.So Paul writes, Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. This is important because what the church that is called the greatest Christian church in the world today, its cathedrals and its ceremonies are filled with idols. And what they bring in the way of a communion,Lord's Supper, or Eucharist, or sacrifice of the Mass, are counterfeits of the true pestle. And this is why Paul is writing this way. Because in chapter 11, which we will review, he talks about what we are to do with the true Christian Passover. And remember that only those who are truly baptized with the true covenant baptism, as we find in the New Testament, should partake of the Passover. That is the dividing line right there. Idolatry is another dividing line. Now, verse 15, I speak as to those who are wise, you judge what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? Now, the King James says, communion. And the word is translated fellowship every place else. But because the translators of the King James and other subsequent translators retained the word communion because they still had connection with the Roman Catholic Church practices. But it's fellowship, because we are to have a fellowship relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, continuing, the bread that we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? He's talking directly of the Christian Passover. We will see how he defines it in chapter 11 again. Verse 17, for we, being many, are one body and one bread, because we are all partakers of the bread. Didn't Jesus say, I am the bread of life? Yes, indeed. Verse 18, consider Israel according to the flesh. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Now, we come before the altar of God in heaven above. So, you see, that's why we need to understand the parallels between the Old and New Testament. One is physical, Old Testament. The other is spiritual, New Testament. Now, notice what he is saying here. Verse 19. What am I saying, that an idol is anything, or that which is sacrificed to an idol is anything? That is, of and by itself, it is a physical thing. But what is behind it is what Paul is bringing out. Verse 20, here's the key. But that which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not wish you to have fellowship with demons. Now, who are the demons? The demons are the angels that rebelled with Satan the devil, and they lost their angelic power and became demons. Now, the world today is interested in demonism. They even have television programs where they are seeking out ghosts, haunted houses, seeking out spirits. God says through Paul, we're not to have fellowship with demons. Now, in relationship to a counterfeit Passover called the Lord's Supper, Communion, Eucharist, etc. These are not to God, even though they use the name of God, because they have added to it that which should never be added to it. When you come to God, when anyone comes to God, when any minister is preaching the Word of God, when anyone is conducting the Christian Passover, it is all on the terms and conditions that God has set forth. Not what we think. That's adding to. not saying, oh, well, let's let everyone know that we're Christian. Let's put up a cross. And they don't remember that a pagan Roman emperor, Constantine, was given a vision, conquer by this cross. And that the cross was an ancient symbol of Egyptian religion. Now, let's understand something very clear concerning the Passover and pagan religions. What did God say concerning the Passover in Exodus 12 with the children of Israel? Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Let's go to Exodus 12. Let's read what God said, because there was something very important that was taking place that night. Now, God said of the Passover in Egypt that the Israelites kept, said, when I see the blood on the side doorpost and on the lintel, I will pass over the house and I will spare your firstborn. So the sacrifice of the lamb for the Passover was a type of Christ. And the blood on those houses signified that the children of Israel were in obedience to God, and that God would pass over those houses and not execute judgment against the firstborn. So that was the sacrifice that the children of Israel made. Now, there was another sacrifice that God extracted from the Egyptians, and that was twofold. Number one, he executed the death sentence of all the firstborn of Egypt, man and beast. Number two, he judged all the gods of Egypt. Let's read it. Last part of verse 11, Exodus 12, it is the Lord's Passover for. Now, for means the reason for it. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. What were the gods of Egypt? The Pharaoh, the priests, all the idols that they had, Satan, the devil, and his demons. Because behind idolatry are demons. And behind any counterfeit observance or celebration, and that word is not found in the Bible, to celebrate the Passover. Now, we're going to look at some of the very words of the counterfeit here in just a little bit. And we're going to see how close that they try to make it. But you see, it is taken any time they desire. And the Bible teaches the true Christian Passover is only to be kept on the Passover day, the 14th day of the first month, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar, because that's the day on which Christ died. And it is his sacrifice, not ours. It is his shed blood, not ours. It is his broken body, not ours. Now let's continue here. Verse 20 again. That which the Gentiles sacrifice, and the Gentiles are the nations of the world and their religions. Now think about this for a minute. The Roman Catholic Church, in its policies, has clearly established a practice that what they do when they go into a land and they find a strange religion, that what they do, they take that strange religion and rename it with Christian-sounding names. But it is still the same practice. And this has been done recently in the jungles of Peru on the west side of the Andes Mountains, beginning of the Amazon River Basin, where there were recently converted headhunters one generation removed from their practices. And a priest in that little jungle parish bragged that they took the ceremony that the natives had and renamed it with Christian names, so now it's good to go for God. Notice, that which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not wish you to have fellowship with demons. And God judged all the gods of Egypt. You cannot take the practices of demonic gods, satanically inspired practices, and say to yourself, well, these things look good and nice, so let's do it to God. That's the whole purpose on the Passover in Egypt, to let the world know none of the religions of this world have any connection with God, the true God, and he destroyed them. And you can find that same thing throughout all of the Bible. Now notice, verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Now, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? In other words, he's saying to them, who do you think you are, incorporating these practices into the Passover that is to be kept in commemoration and remembrance of the death of Christ? So he set the stage here, making it absolutely clear. You must do it the way that Jesus said. And what did we find with that? We found, number one, there's the foot washing. Number two, there's the breaking and eating of the unleavened bread. Number three, there is the partaking of the wine. Those are the three elements of the true Christian Passover. Now, you need this book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. This will give you in great detail everything that happened on that Passover day. You cannot take the words of Christ and add to them. You cannot take the practices of the heathen gods and say, well, this is a good one, let's add this to it. When people do that, they deny God. They deny Jesus Christ. They deny the sacrifice of Christ. They reject the Word of God, reject the teachings of Christ, and practice their own religion in the name of Christ. But they are honoring demons and don't know it. Now you see, that brings us back to a very important thing that we've covered before. This weekly Sabbath, the Passover and Holy Days of God, are signs that we belong to God. Now, in the New Testament, added to that is the Spirit of God, the love of God, the faith of God, and practicing the things that Jesus and the apostles taught. Now that's why we are striving to restore original Christianity for today, because the whole world has been so deceived. Once again, you need this book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. This is so important for you to read and to understand, as this will break down for you and put in simple, easy-to-understand terms what it is that Jesus did, the Father did, all the prophecies associated with his death, and why that day, the first month of the Hebrew calendar, on the 14th day of that first month, we are to observe the Passover. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.